And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn vow.
My family
years
was really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally
and
different.
I never
I come from a large Irish Italian Catholic family.
Oh my, that can only mean one thing. This is WUWM at night, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time to get slammed. Story slammed.
Wow.
It is a new weekly feature. Every Wednesday night at this time, X-Fabula is back with stories to amaze and amuse. And if X-Fabula is back, Leah Delaney is back, co-founder of X-Fabula and general woman about town. Good to see you back at your microphone again.
I know. It's been such a long time. I did sort of like dust off the cobwebs, but thanks for having us back again. This is great.
This is going to be on every week. We'll pick a few stories and listen to them. And for those who are not in the know, Leah, maybe we should explain a bit more about what X-Fabula is and what you're doing, what the whole mission is.
Surely. So,
and don't call me Shirley.
Okay, Stan. So essentially for the past 5 years, can believe it, 5 years, we're rolling into our sixth season. We've been holding story slams in Milwaukee at local watering holes, you know. We invite people to come to our events, maybe have a sip of liquid courage, and tell their five-minute real true personal story based on the theme of the night. So people have been coming in for about 5 years now and just throwing their names in the hat and with the hopes of getting picked to get up on stage to tell their personal story. And at the end of the night, the audience gets to pick their favorite. And at the end of the season, we put all of the audience favorites from the season up on stage at Turner Hall Ballroom, and we have an all-star grand finale story slam.
That was a good one this year, too.
Oh, it was fantastic. I couldn't be more pleased. We're all kind of like, you know, shaking each other's hands about it. It's great.
Well, tonight we have a few stories on the subject of
Father's Day. Father's Day, Father's Day.
Which is coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. So, Bruce, do you have any anecdotes to share about Father's Day? You have a father, right?
Yes. Well, he is deceased, but I remember, here is my personal Father's Day. I remember my first Father's Day, and my son was not even a month old, but on Mother's Day, you always got to eat free at places.
Yeah.
Father's Day was the first time that I walked in with my son and I got a free meal, so...
That's good.
That was my first Father's Day, so that always sticks out. So we won't say where it was, but you know, I got my first free meal as a dad. So
yes, but I'm sure it was very delicious.
Well,
all $5 of it.
All $5. What do we have up first here?
Well, you know, I think it's really important to point out the fact that you know Father's Day, Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, all those days, those Hallmark holidays. Are, you know, they're there for a reason. They're there to remind you of your family bonds, essentially, whether you celebrated all year long or not. And I have a couple of sort of somber stories, but really fantastic stories to share tonight. One of them is from April back in 2011. We had a story slam at the Stonefly Brewery, and the theme was Better Left Unsaid. And we have Andrew Larson, who told a fantastic story about coming out to his father and the trials and tribulations involved with that. So let's listen to Andrew Larson.
My father was born before the Great Depression out on the western side of Minnesota to a community of Scandinavian Lutherans. So you can understand right there, he was a pretty conservative guy who doesn't like talking about his feelings. And then he became a minister in a conservative Lutheran synod. I say this so that you'll understand why it took me about 15 years to tell my father I'm gay. And when I did that, his immediate response, as my brother would put it, was to throw Jesus at me. And my response was, Dad, I want to have a conversation with you about the Bible and being gay and whatnot, but let's not talk about it today. And he said, okay. Well, 15 years later, we still hadn't had that conversation. My father was 82 years old, and he came out to visit me from Washington State. And on the last day of his visit, I thought, I've got to have this conversation with him. And so that night, I was very reluctant, but I said, okay, Dad, let's talk about what the Bible has to say about being gay. And his response was immediately to bring up Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm a historian professionally, and as I was making sense of my sexual orientation, I spent a lot of time doing scholarly research, looking at the language of the texts and the context and things like that. So I was prepared. So when he tossed Sodom and Gomorrah at me, I said, well, let's analyze the language that's actually used there. Let's talk about what the Hebrew words actually mean. Let's talk about the context. And so we debated this for 15, 20 minutes, and then he got quiet, and he tossed Leviticus at me. And the same thing happened. And he got quiet again, and we just went on that way for about 3 hours, working our way through every possible passage. And finally he looked at me and said, I can see I'm going to have to think about this some more. Now, all on its own, I felt like that was a victory. I had gotten somewhere. I'd argued him to a quiet. And I said, Dad, I don't want you to tell me you think you approve or anything like that. I understand that's a really big leap for you. But I'm hoping you can at least say, I approached this as the faithful Christian you raised me to be, to really wrestle with what the Bible has to say about how we should behave. And my dad said, yes, I can see that. And I thought, wow. And when I mentioned that to my family members later on, and they were like, oh, wow, how did he actually get to say that? That was a total win for you. Well, the next day I drove him to the airport. And as I was getting his bags out, he looked at me and said, I'm 82. I'm not going to be traveling anymore. If you don't come out to visit me, this is going to be the last time we will ever see each other. Now, that sounds awfully manipulative, but that's my father just being pragmatic. He's a Scandinavian Lutheran. And then he looked at me and said, the Lord bless you. Like he was some sort of Old Testament patriarch giving me his final benediction. It was like he was saying, you're doing okay. I don't think you're going to go to hell. I cried all the way home. So tonight you're going to hear a lot of stories about things that people really shouldn't have said. But the moral of my story is that sometimes the things you think you shouldn't say are absolutely the things you have to say. Thank you.
So that was Andrew Larson, who told a fantastic story from our Better Left Unsaid themed show back in 2011.
Mm-hmm. You know, we want to also, I think, reemphasize, Leah, that these are not actors. These are not hired guns to come up there and read a prepared script. These are real people from this area that are getting up there and telling their personal stories.
I mean, getting Milwaukee up on stage, giving them a microphone, you know, your next-door neighbor, your regular Joe Blow, people have to understand how important their voice is in Milwaukee. And the more that we share stories like this, the more connected we'll become in the end.
Mm. Now, next one also is from 2011.
Yeah, it actually is. This is from a gentleman named Jim Winship. And funnily enough, I was, I think I was emceeing this show. It was back at the Baby Brew House, or the defunct Baby Brew House. I believe it's the Down and Over Pub now on KK. But this gentleman showed up with his son, Parker, who used to volunteer with our organization. And Parker basically just kind of like, you know, elbowed him and said, Dad, you know, get up on stage, tell the story. And he just knocked out the crowd, actually won that story slam that night with this story.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Jim Winship.
Good to be here. I was sitting with my son, and he was saying that all these have been kind of downers, you know? And this one's going to start that way. The first day after the funeral, we went to Carter Fold. Now, the funeral was in Bristol, Tennessee, for my dad, who had died at age 88 of congestive heart failure. Not a tragedy, not a surprise, but it still hit me harder than I thought. So the first day after the funeral, I asked my brother Dave if we could go to Carter Fold. Part of that is because I'd always wanted to go there, a place that the son and daughter of A.P. Carter and Mother Maybelle had set up for the performance and preservation of mountain music. And mostly, I just wanted to spend time with my brother. So it's 20 miles if the crow was flying straight, and 28 miles and 45 minutes on windy Appalachian roads to get to Carter Fold. And we get there, and it's unlike any performance venue I've ever seen. The stage comes out of the back of the house. The seating is a kind of stadium seating, but it's down the hill because this is Appalachia. If you get there early, you get the best seats. And those are bench seats that have been taken out of old pickups, and they're closest to the stage. The rest of us were sitting. They took sections of logs, pounded them into the dirt, put 18-inch planks on top of those, nailed them down, and then carpet squares set on top of that. The music, it's either bluegrass or old-time music. If you don't know, the difference is old-time music doesn't have a banjo. So we're sitting there, and about 15 minutes before it's supposed to start, a couple of guys come out, and they're bringing amplifiers. And there starts to be some kind of whispering going around. And I turned to my brother, and he doesn't say anything, but he's smiling. And then Jeanette Carter walks up and walks to the microphone. She's a big woman, farm country big and strong. So good of all of you to come out here tonight. I'd especially like to welcome a special guest, a friend of Carter Fold, a very good friend of the Carter family. And she steps back, and a man walks very slowly to the microphone and says, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." My brother and I are sitting 40 feet away from Johnny Cash, and I know heaven is not going to be that cool. He sings Big River, and then June Carter Cash comes out to thunderous applause, and they do Ring of Fire, and Johnny tells us that the idea of the Mexican trumpets, that came to him in a dream. So I don't know exactly how it happened. But then he pulls the chair up and sits down and says, "Bruce Springsteen sings one of my songs, so I'm going to sing one of his." And he sings Highway Patrolman. You know that song? You know, part of the lyrics are, "Me and Frankie were brothers, nothing stronger than blood on blood, taking turns dancing with Maria while the band played Night of the Johnstown Flood." And in that moment, maybe it was the music, maybe the lyrics, maybe the incomparable way that Johnny Cash can interpret a song, but all that sadness that had been with us, it just retreated to the shadows. And it was just me and my brother just sitting there, humming, singing almost wordlessly, "Nothing stronger than blood on blood."
And that was Jim Winship from another Story Slam from 2011, where the theme was First Day. What a great story that was, too. Mm. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. Appropriate stories for Father's Day coming up on Sunday. And speaking of coming up, Leah Delaney, ex-Fabula, has not a show coming up, but an event tomorrow night.
It is really a must-not-miss event.
We get to rub elbows with all you guys.
Come say hi. High five and maybe shake a hand.
Sure.
We have an event tomorrow night, Thursday, at the Vogel Mansion, which is fantastic. So, you know, normally with our Story Slams, we invite the public to come to our events and get up on stage and tell a story. Well, this time, at this event, you can come to this event, and we have artists on hand who will interpret your story through certain types of mediums. Like Anja Natanja is a really well-known poet in Milwaukee. She does La Prosette. We have a painter named Tia. Ben Marins is a singer-songwriter. And then Broad-Minded Comedy will be there, all interpreting your story through so many different types of mediums. It's just going to be a really, like, unique, incredible event, I'm hoping.
That sounds like something this place hasn't seen before.
Yep, it is. It is new, and Milwaukee has yet to experience something like this. And if anybody wants any details about it, they can gladly walk over to our xfabula.com webpage.
Sounds like a plan. All right, Leah Delaney of Xfabula, thank you for tonight. We'll be here every Wednesday night with stories for everybody. Thanks.
Indeed. Thanks so much.